Some of the greatest movie themes of all time, and our cue to let you know that the start of this week's edition of Cinema Chat is underway. I'm David Fair, sitting alongside the executive director and CEO of the Michigan Theater. Russ Collins is back for another go at it, and we thank you for stopping by, as you do each week. And this week, we have to talk about whether or not Kevin Spacey is ever going to work again.
It's true. I first want to wish son-in-law Dan Goodson happy birthday. Today's his birthday.
But happy birthday.
Christopher Plummer is replacing Kevin Spacey in All the Money in the World, which was supposed to open at the AFI Film Fest.
Right, let's make clear, that film was completely finished, edited, and ready for distribution.
And it's supposed to be released to the public in a broad way on the 22nd of December, which is, you know, it's 7 weeks from today.
And Spacey's performance, early indications were that it might be Oscar worthy.
Yeah, and so Ridley Scott, who was the director of the film, has decided to replace Kevin Spacey, and he's replacing him, amazingly enough, with the guy that he originally wanted in the role, Christopher Plummer. And he's doing that because Kevin Spacey is under a great deal of pressure because of sexual abuse charges.
Allegations and accusations,
yes,
anyway.
That's true. I don't know that he's been charged in court.
Correct.
But individuals have accused him of sexual harassment. And Kevin Spacey is a guy that, in the industry, people knew he was an awfully good actor, but not always a good person. I'm less surprised about this than some of the other
This folks. Is a nation that is traditionally, for those who repent and make some changes, is willing to forgive. Nonetheless, we are entering an era of a lot of divisiveness and a lot of black and white attitude, wherein it's hard line one way or the other, and it's going to be interesting to see whether all of those who are now facing these kinds of accusations and allegations are going to get work again, if that's going to be allowed, and if they can win the forgiveness of, most importantly, those they've transgressed against, but the American public as well.
That's true. Opening this week is Daddy's Home 2, which stars Mel Gibson, who has transgressed quite a bit in various ways, but he's still working. The thing that is, everything that you said is very appropriate and poignant in terms of someone's career and, you know, how audiences behave towards individuals who have transgressed. The thing that I'm amazed about is that Ridley Scott expects to reshoot the scenes that Kevin Spacey did with Christopher Plummer. Now, Kevin Spacey only worked on this film for 8 days, so his character, although
spent a lot of time alone,
it's an important character. He plays the grandfather of a grandson that gets kidnapped.
J. Paul Getty's grandson,
the
right.
third,
right.
J. Paul Getty the third, and so it's on one level. If it took 8 days to reshoot it, then in terms of the on-camera work, it's 8 days. But then there's all the prep work and putting all the scenery back. How much of this can be done with CGI?
And it sounds like an editing nightmare, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And having all the elements match in terms of all of those things that you have to match. So Mark Wahlberg, Michelle Williams will also be called back. It is quite a feat. And Ridley Scott did this with. He canceled it suddenly. He did it unilaterally.
He didn't even tell the studio until after.
Without notifying, he said, this is what we're doing. So anyway, very interesting on many, many levels. It's going to be a filmmaking feat. And obviously, as you alluded to, there's a life of a person and many people that Kevin Spacey touched in the balance. But we've also got another burning issue that we can talk about as well in the movie business.
And that indeed is, and it plays all into the conversation that we're having, and that is that women have been far underrecognized as directors and leaders of industry in Hollywood.
And since the 20s, they've essentially been denied. And the 20s were problematic enough, but there were quite a few women directors in the 1920s. But
so
after that,
even now, as opportunities arise, credit is not being appropriately given and recognition not appropriately offered. So,
and the hoops that women have to jump through to run to direct a movie is a much higher threshold typically than what men do. So, for example, the two examples going on right now or in this year are Wonder Woman, which Patty Jenkins directed, mm-hmm. and she spent a decade trying to get the film made. It was originally her idea, or substantially her idea, to make the film.
And
the
majority who have seen it love it.
Yeah, and it's the second highest grossing film of the year so far, $412 million worldwide gross. And then the other film is Greta Gerwig's Lady Bird, which actually opens a week from tomorrow at the Michigan Theater. It opened in New York and L.A. to completely blowout record-setting grosses, $93,000, almost $94,000 for the theaters that it played in a week, and that's amazing for an independent film. Now, Lady Bird is a limited-release film, so it's not the broad-based kind of release that Wonder Woman won, so they're considered
two different
categories.
And Greta Gerwig has kind of consciously decided to stay within that independent film realm because it offers her more opportunities to tell the stories her way.
Right, and she's been a screenwriter and actress in a lot of indie films. Mistress America, she was a screenwriter and worked with Noel Baumbach as she did with Frances Ha. Mistress America premiered at Cinetopia, so we're happy about that. She's also been Oscar buzzed about for 20th Century Woman and Jackie. So she's a very accomplished actor and has become a very accomplished director with Lady Bird. And, you know, 51% of the population, 51% of moviegoers are women. Clearly stories about women, told by women, is something that has been long, decades, almost the entire history of film missing. So it's good that there's progress, but there's such a long way to go, and these films actually point out that fact.
Exactly right. You are listening to Cinema Chat on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU. David Fair with Russ Collins. Now, there are some great movies opening up this weekend, and among them, Wonderstruck.
Yes, this Todd Haynes' new film. His last film was Carol, which was a very well-received mm-hmm. film. And this film is, again, an American independent film with a great cast. It's got Julianne Moore playing a key role. It's about these two children that are separated by 50 years, but they both go on a tour, or they go on a quest to find the parent that has been missing from their life. Rose goes to visit her mother, and she's an actress, and Rose is actually deaf, and you experience the world, her world, as a deaf person, and the way that story, part of the story, is told is quite amazing. And that takes place in 1927. Then Ben is living in Minnesota in 1977. He runs away to find the father that he's never known. And these two stories are told separately, but they actually intersect, and it's based on a novel that played this out. But Todd Haynes made this film his own, and it's just gotten great reviews. It's got a bit of a curious emotional tone. You have to be a little bit patient with it, but the operatic intensity of the film just takes it over, and you so relate to these two children and how they don't literally meet, but their stories meet through time,
right.
And you and an audience get to do that.
Fascinating way to approach a film.
Great reviews. If you haven't seen Loving Vences, this is the biggest hit at the Michigan Theater this year, and we're not playing it every day, every screening. It's going to be played intermittently throughout November, but check it out. Those screenings, if it's not in the historic theater, and we're not always able to show it there, are selling out. So Loving Vences is great. It's the first feature that's done entirely with oil painting, and it is a very unique, very interesting telling of Vincent Van Gogh.
Can't even imagine the laborious process that was to get that to film.
And it's very, very interesting. The Florida Project is also a really hot film that might get nominated for an Academy Award, kind of in the moonlight genre, very small, independent film that's very, very compelling. And Goodbye Christopher Robin continues. I really like that film. We've got our 1967 series continuing with Valley of the Dolls tonight at 9:30. City. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner and In the Heat of the Night, starring Sidney Poitier, on Monday.
And then you've put one of my favorites on film, Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan, Don't Look Back, the classic D.A. Pennebaker documentary, is going to be Thursday, a week from today at 9:30. My Brother the Hero is a locally made film about international communities in Washtenaw County, and that's going to get a special screening Sunday at 1:30. And then Kenneth Branagh's Murder at the Orient Express is opening at the multiplexes, and it's gotten pretty good reviews.
He's a great actor, great director, great storyteller.
But yeah, great, great cast. And then Daddy's Home 2 is opening today. No reviews, no reviews. So if you're going to the multiplex, go to
Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, and they've worked together before, and they can be funny together. You'll get what you get.
Mel Gibson and John Lithgow. It's a good cast, but no reviews.
And that's another edition of Cinema Chat here on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti. For Russ Collins, I'm David Fair, and we'll do it again for you next week.
Ta-ta from Hollywood.